Appreciate that. All right. Well, this morning, we are going to talk about a topic that, for some reason, people kind of cringe at when you get ready to talk about it. Money. People cringe when you start preaching on money. I don't know why. Really don't. But you know, this season is a beautiful season. I was just listening to the song that Susan was singing there. This is a time in which we all start to think about Christ, really think about Christ and the gift that he was to us and the purpose behind that. And part of our celebration is the Christmas season, and we buy gifts for everybody, and money comes into play here. But it's not about the gifts. It's about the most precious gift that was ever given, God, the forgiveness for sins. If you would, please, join me as we pray for the message, and then we'll hop into this. Father God, we come to you this morning to thank you, Lord, for the opportunity that we have to be in your house, to gather together, Lord, that we worship and praise you, for you are worthy of it. Father, we ask that you would be with everyone here and those that couldn't make it, Lord, that you would bless them, that everyone would be safe as the roads are beautiful with the snow and the ice, but also dangerous, Father. Lord, I ask that you would help me as I come to present your message, Lord, that you would speak clearly through me, Lord, that I would not stumble my words, Lord, and that your accurate word would be given, Lord, for it's your words that people need to hear, Lord, not mine. Father, we thank you for the blessings of the people that you've put here in this ministry, Lord, for all those who make this possible. We thank you for the love and the environment, Lord, that we have here, for we know that it is a blessing that we get to enjoy that not everyone does. Father, we thank you, we love you, and we ask that you be with us, and that all that we do would glorify you, and that you'd be well pleased with our service. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. You know, I saw a new face this morning. Where are you at, Nathan? There he is. So you said you're at WVU, right? How long have you been out there? You said this is your last year? Yeah. What are you going for? Pre-med. So if I get hurt, I'll come talk to you, huh? Oh, is that? Well, see that? He said, go with the experience. I'm not there yet, but that's all right. Oh, man. We got any other visitors this morning? Anyone that isn't usually here? Yeah, you're shy, aren't you? I'll find you. All right, so this morning we're going to start off in the sixth chapter of Matthew. If you would please turn there with me. You see, the funny thing about money, and like I said, it's funny that whenever you preach about money, people for some reason they get real uncomfortable. And I don't really get why. Because here's the argument that I've heard, and before I knew better, I had the same argument. Here's my thoughts on it. What are y'all preaching about money for? God don't care about money. And you know what? You're right, half and half. The money God doesn't care about. But here's the thing. Scripture tells us that where your treasures are, there shall your heart be also, right? So the money he doesn't care about. But what we do with our money and how we spend our money says an awful lot about our heart. That God does care about. He does not desire, nor does he require, for everything is his. I want to read with you here chapter 6 of Matthew. Let's read 19 and through 21 here. So speaking of treasures in heaven, it says there in verse 19, "Lay not up for yourself treasures upon the earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." Now, what he's trying to tell us here is that the things of this world are not promised. The treasures of this world, they're temporary. Yes, money is something that we need here in the world that we live in, the world of man. It's the way in which we go about providing for the things that are important that we have to take care of. But we don't want to allow it to become the emphasis or the focus of our lives. You see, one day you and I are going to pass, and someone else is going to get all our stuff. That stuff isn't important. It's important that we keep that focus. Our attention, our goals, and our lives should be focused not on what we have here in the kingdom of man, in this world, but what we have in the kingdom of heaven, in God. That is where the riches need to be. That's where our hearts need to be focused. But it's very easy for us to forget that. We we often begin to get focused in on this life because of all of the things that draw our attention. Distraction is one of the primary means by which the devil seeks to separate us from God. This is not just for the unbeliever, but the believer as well. Oftentimes we get wrapped up in things like our job, right? Which is a good thing, but it's another distraction. It's a means to an end, it's not the end. Education, schoolwork, another thing which if we get too wrapped up in it can take away. Our hobbies, even our families, this life will demand our time. And the more that we get wrapped up in, the more our focus starts to shift. So that's what he's talking about here in Matthew. He says, don't worry about those things. Don't worry about that. And specifically speaking of monetary wealth here. Where righteous joy, contentment, and holiness abound everlasting is only in heaven with the presence of God. There, pop down to verse 24 there. They're in the same chapter. Just hop down just three verses there. Here's why God cares about money and the way it affects our hearts. This verse says it all, really. No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. And the term mammon there is an old word that basically means money, wealth, finance, greed. Now, here's what he's saying. He's not saying to do away with money, all right? He's not saying cast it aside completely. What he's saying is that it's not the same as the treasures of heaven. And what it means whenever Matthew is talking here, and it says that you cannot serve God and mammon, you'll either love one and hate the other. Whatever our focus is, whatever our thought processes are, that is the things that we'll be investing our time into. We don't want to get wrapped up in that. You see, because what happens is as we invest time, anyone ever had a project or a hobby or something that they were building or trying to work on? Maybe you're building a workshop or you're, you know, doing something that nothing wrong with. But the more we invest our time into it, the more it takes our attention and our focus off of God. And what happens is after a while, we have a desire to continue doing that. And with money, money is something that is a tool. It needs to remain a tool. But like all tools and all blessings, when used incorrectly, when overindulged on, or when given undue importance, they become sin. Many good things like money exist in this world, but we have to use them as intended. It's like that little warranty you find on the back of projects that you buy. Warranty is invalid if a tool is not used for its intended purpose. Right? You get that little warning there. It's the same thing with anything in our lives, not just money, which is our topic today, but so many of the blessings of God can be used incorrectly. Right? Here's a thought that I want to keep in your minds today as we go through this lesson, and especially through the rest of the week and this season. All right? Because this is a time in which, traditionally, if you look at statistics, this is a time in which we spend a lot more money than we normally do, the Christmas season, holidays, all of that, right? It becomes a path to sin if we put too much importance on money, right? It corrupts and blurs our vision. Ultimately, it can destroy our relationship by turning our faith and reliance away from God and turning it to MasterCard, Visa, or the money in my bank account, my job. And that's why God cares about money, because wherever we go for our provision, where we go when things get rough, well, the way in which we seek to have our needs met should be to God the Father. I can't remember, I think it was about 2 weeks ago, we were talking about the topic of prayer, and I told you about a man in Bristol, England, who had the orphans, and God provided through prayer for those thousands of orphans, right? He understood that God was the means of provision. Right? Man does not, as Christ said, man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that proceedeth out the mouth of God. Right? That's where we should go for our provision. When things get hard or you have a concern, do you stop and say, oh, I better find some money somewhere, I better use our credit card, or do you pray? What's the first thing you reach for? Is it the Bible? Do you drop to your knees, or do you start looking for your wallet? It can affect the heart. Turn with me, if you would. Head over to Luke. I want to go to chapter 12 here of Luke. We're going to go to verse 16, the 12th chapter of Luke. very well-known parable of the man with that built the barns. So, Luke chapter 12, verse 16, I'm going to read down a little ways here, 16 to 21 here, and then we're going to talk about that for a second. I want to make some illustrations for you. You know, it said that Christ spoke about money almost more than any other topic. Over 123 times we find Christ speaking on the topic of money in one way or another throughout his earthly ministry. So here, verse 16, it says, this is Christ speaking a parable. It says, and he spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plenty. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. In other words, he was very prosperous. He had very much wealth, so much that he couldn't contain it all. And he still was concerned about it. As you can see, he's distraught here. And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. Now, I want to talk to you about this in just a second here. Look at verse 20 and 21. So you see the thinking of man at 16 through 19 there in the parable, where we in this world, we often, it happens to us naturally. We don't mean to have our thoughts think this way, but it just happens. We get wrapped up in this world. You know, I'd like to have a bigger, better car. Or, you know, we need to get a nicer this or a bigger that. It's the same idea that it's trying to give here. You know, the man was focused on things that he had. And so instead of thinking, yes, I've got plenty, praise God for the provision he's given, his thought process is on, I'm going to have more. I need more. Let's tear down the barn I've got. Let's build it bigger and better, right? But look what God says about this. Then God said to this man, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. You see, our focus, though there's nothing wrong with being wealthy and to be blessed like that, that's a good thing. He who has much can bless much, right? However, it's the focus of the man that caused him problems here. You see, he was more concerned about what he had here than what he had in heaven waiting for him. And when I say what's in heaven, I'm not talking about the streets paved with gold and mansion on a hill and all that. That's not what I'm talking about. You see, the gift and the glory, the riches of heaven are found in the presence of Almighty God, in the service of God. All the other things of heaven, they're a perk, okay? The real value of heaven is that relationship and the presence of God Almighty, that eternal life with the Father. That's what we should be striving for. That's what our focus should be on. I'm trying to give you a little illustration here. I saw a guy once use this illustration, and it paints the picture pretty well. So I don't know if I'll do it as well as he did, but I'll try to paint something for you here. So imagine this here cord, right? You have to bear with me. So imagine this cord represents your life, because what are we, right? We're souls, right? Do souls disappear? Or they go away whenever we die? No, it's eternal, right? Imagine that this goes on forever. It doesn't. It ends in the wall there. I don't have an eternity cord. I tried to find one. It's eBay is expensive. So imagine that this represents eternity, right? It just goes on forever, right? Now, see this little duct tape here? All right, we're in a depression, people. Give me a break. All right, so you see this? This represents our time here on earth, our lives. And after that comes eternity. Here's what we do. We get wrapped up right here in this little bitty section of our life here. And we start thinking, well, I'm going to save up a whole lot right here so that when I get to this very end part, I can really enjoy that. That's going to be nice. That's kind of what he's thinking, you know. Here in 19, he says, oh, my soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take, eat, be merry. You've earned this. You've got a good time ahead of you now. But here's what happens. Look what God says. So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich towards God. In other words, our focus and the focus of the unbeliever is on this world, this little bitty section right here, guys, and we forget about eternity. It goes on and on and on. Our focus shouldn't be on this, all right? This is a glimpse, a blinking of an eye, all right? We're here for a purpose, and then after that comes eternity. So let's spend this time thinking about eternity to come, forever and ever and ever, not focused or allowing ourselves and our hearts to be distracted, which it naturally happens, right? I'm a father. I have 6 kids. I have a husband. I used to work a full-time job providing for them while going through school. I understand, and being in the ministry, right? I understand. We don't mean to, but we do get wrapped up in these things. And often, all the things that we're wrapped up in of themselves are very good things, right? Providing for our families, seeking education, serving in the ministry. But what we don't want to do is allow ourselves, and yes, we're talking about money, but it applies to so much more, to allow ourselves to get wrapped up in this life and forget about what we're really here for, what our real goal is, to be reunited with God, to serve God in the kingdom. Hopefully this is sinking in, everyone's kind of understanding the message I'm trying to relay here, right? I want you to understand the biblical view of wealth. So understanding the biblical view of wealth, right, what we need to do, what the purpose of it is, there's two things we need to talk about. One of which is this notion of tithing, right? I've heard a lot of different ideas and thoughts on tithing and if that's biblical and if it pertains to us or not or if that's Old Testament. So we're going to talk on that for a second. And if speaking on money makes you uncomfortable, might I just say, that could be a warning sign, all right? If speaking, just talking about money makes you squirm a little bit, it's probably a warning sign. You shouldn't be uncomfortable talking about these things. So I've heard many different things concerning tithe. Let's talk about two or three of them real quick here. One of which that I've heard is just give whatever, right? That there's no expectation. I've also heard the 10% position, right? That's where we get the Old Testament term of the tithe. That means one-tenth. That's where that comes from. I'm going to try and seek to clarify some of these, but in order to do that, we have to start at the beginning and work our way forward a little bit, all right, on what God is asking. And remember, as I said, the purpose of anything that God tells us to do concerning our money isn't about the money. It's about our hearts. And you'll see that as we go through here, and I'll explain on how that affects us. So if you would, jump with me to Leviticus. All right, we're going to go back to the old book here, Leviticus 27. All right, 27 and 30. I want to take a note real quick here. Just real quick, if you get a chance, look up in there and see the very first verse of the book of Leviticus chapter 27. Notice who's speaking. This wasn't Moses' decree. This was God's. It says in the very first verse, "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying," and then we have the rest of the chapter there. But in verse 30, he says this, "And all the tithe of the land, whether of the seed of the land or the fruit of the tree, is the Lord's. It is holy unto the Lord." And concerning the tithe of the herd, there in 32, concerning the tithe of the herd or the flock, even of whatsoever passeth under the rod, the tenth shall be holy unto the Lord. Now, why do you think he was asking the people of Israel, God's people, why do you think he was asking them to give that tenth to him? What do you think the purpose was? Now, if we know that all belongs to God, if he owns the cattle on 1,000 hills, does he require their goods? Does he require the things that they have? Is God sitting there going, well, if they don't give me that 10%, I don't know how I'm going to get by? No. So obviously he doesn't require it. So knowing the character of God and what we just talked about with money, do you think that he desires it? Do you think he's sitting there going, well, I'd sure like to have some of the things they've got. That's a nice fruit tree brother's got there. I tell you what, I'd like to have 10% of that. No, no, he doesn't desire it. He's God Almighty. He has and created everything. If he wanted something, he'd just make it, right? So what's it about? Why would he ask that? The heart of the matter. Two things about the tithe. One, the idea for this is that we keep God in the forefront of our mind with what we have. You see, giving to God is an acknowledgement. Whenever we give him, so here's how we ought to think about this, right? With this is the thought process. If God, if I truly believe that God is the provider for all that I have, and he has given me 100%, then whenever we give him back that 10%, really, we're not giving him 10. He's letting us keep 90. You see what I'm saying there? It's kind of like if I give my daughter 20 bucks and then I come back and I ask her for 5, is she really giving me 5 bucks, or am I just letting her keep 15 of it? Something to think about. But why does he do that? He wants us to stay cognizant. He wants us to keep thinking, to keep us mindful of where our provisions come from. It's a way for him to make sure that we, by doing this, don't forget who this provider is. And you may have heard, and I've used to think a long time ago, that, you know, I work hard for the things that I have, and we do, right? And we're blessed. But as I said in another message one time, we've got to keep in mind who makes it possible for these things. So that's why God is asking for that there. It's not just, God doesn't care about the money. He cares about the heart behind the man, the woman. What do we think of? What's our mindset? See, so this 10% of their grains, their income, any sort, was to be given to God. That's where we get that biblical idea of that tenth, that tithe. That's what that means. So hop now, if you would. Go a little further. Go into Numbers. Let's go to verse 18, and we're going to talk a little bit more about this. Sorry, chapter 18. Numbers chapter 18. All right. Go to verse 20 and 21 there. This is what the idea is, the plan for God's people, how that money is to be used, right? Why? What his purpose is in it, other than our hearts and our minds, our focus, but what the church is supposed to do with that money. All right? 20 says this, "And the Lord spake unto Aaron," there in verse 20, "Thou shalt have no inheritance of their land, neither shalt thou have any part among them. I am thy part and thine inheritance among the children of Israel. And behold, I have given the children of the Levite all the tenth in Israel for an inheritance, for their service, which they serve, even the service of the tabernacle of the congregation." So there in 20 and 21, we see God's plan and his purpose in this, what the church, the people of God, are supposed to do with that tithes and offerings, right? It's not to make the Levites, the priests, you know, fat and wealthy. No. It is to be used in the service of God, in the service of the ministry. Not only is it to provide for the priests there, the Levites, but also for the service of the tabernacle of the congregation. This is the way and the plan in which God came forth for us to provide for the ministry. It's the way in which we provide for the church and the bills and our ministry that we have. That's the purpose of the tithe. Yes, God's able to provide. This is the way in his word that he's decided to do that, right? So we see the tithe is to support the ministry. Everything that gives to the church is to go right back into the church, back into the congregation, back into the ministry. So you may be asking, does he need the money? Can't he provide these things without us? Well, he can. Psalms 50:10 says this, "For every beast of the forest is mine," speaking of the Lord, "and the cattle upon 1,000 hills. I know all the fowls of the mountains, and the wild beasts of the field are mine." This is something that, think about this. I like this verse. "If I were hungry," this is God speaking, "I would not tell thee, for the world is mine, and the fullness thereof." In other words, he's reinforcing, he's reminding them that everything is God's. Everything that you have, that I have, we are stewards of the things that we have. They don't really belong to us, right? Everything here is his. You say, well, I built this, that's mine. Where'd you get the wood? From a tree. Whose tree is that? Just something in our thought process we've got to keep in mind. Everything is God's. And he's saying here that he would not come to man if he could hunger. He wouldn't come to man and say, "Can you provide some food? I'm hungry." No, he's God. Everything that exists is his. He doesn't require anything for us. So, if that is true, you may be asking, why should I tithe? What does he want us to do with it, right? Tithing is a way to teaching us of what our first priority is, to rely upon and trust on him for provision. A pastor that I used to have said this concerning tithe, whenever I come to him with questions a long time ago. He said, we can do a lot with the blessings of God. He said he would rather have 90% of everything, of all his income, give the other 10% and go with God's blessing, then keep 100% of it and do things on his own. And I thought that said an awful lot, because it talks of the heart. It talks an awful lot of the heart. So you may be thinking, well, that's all Old Testament. How does that apply to us? And where does offerings come in? Well, offerings are separate from the tithe, okay? So when it comes to finances, the tithe, that is our obligation, that is our way of showing God, yes, you are the provider of all that I have. I acknowledge that, Lord, right? So, the offering is separate, right? The offering is anything above that. So, let's say you give your tithe, right? You give your offering to the Lord saying, hey, Lord, I'm doing this in obedience to you. I want you to know that I acknowledge you're the provider of my life. I want you to know that I acknowledge I come to you for the things that I need, for you're my focus. But the offering is where you say, you know what, Lord, I've been blessed, and I just want to give some extra to this, or I just want to give to this ministry, or I just want to, you know, bless. That's the offerings. And we can use those, again, for anything else that the church needs. But that's separate, okay? It's separate from the tithe. Hop with me over to the New Testament. Let's talk about this some more. I want you to read 23:23 of Matthew. So hop with me over to the book of Matthew again. Now, here's what I used to think back when I was a younger man, much younger man. We won't talk about how much younger. But I used to think that, well, that was all Old Testament. And I've talked to other people who thought that, and they said, well, that's Israel, that doesn't apply to us. Well, first thing I want to let you know is that just because it's Old Testament doesn't mean it doesn't apply to us. Now, there are some things that are that way, that are reserved for Israel. But the vast majority of that still applies to us today. Read here in 23:23 of Matthew, right? Hop over there one more page. All right, so 23:23. This is Christ speaking. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye pay the tithe of mint and anise and cumin, and have omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith. These ought ye to have done, and not to leave the other undone. So here he was speaking to the Pharisees, right, the scribes. And he was basically rebuking them because they're doing all of the works, you know, the things of the law that they were required to do, like the tithe and taking care of these things. But their hearts were wrong. They weren't taking care of the matters, of the weightier matters, as he says, of the law, judgment, mercy, faith, the things that really matter. But I want you to take a note of the last part of verse 23 there, what Christ says. These ought ye have done, and not leave the other undone. Now, yes, he's speaking to the Pharisees there, but we see here that Christ was saying, yes, you should be tithing, which is good, but don't forget to do these other things that are even more important than that. These are weightier matters. And we find that there in the New Testament. So, all right, lastly, things on offerings. Being separate from tithe, right? You say, well, how much should an offering be? So we've discussed that the tithe, the term tithe, is one-tenth. You say, well, how much should my offering be? Go to 2 Corinthians, right? If you want to do an offering, that's completely up to you, right? There's no requirement for that. And Corinthians says that you give according to the blessing, right? According to what you feel. Everyone according to the desires of his heart. 2 Corinthians, we're going to go to... or. Yeah, 2 Corinthians chapter 9, if I hop over there here. So chapter 9, verses 6 and 7. talking about a cheerful giver, right? And this is also about the heart of the way we give. Because again, the whole thing God cares about, he doesn't actually care about the finances or you know, back in their day, the things of the field or their animals. He doesn't care about any of that. He doesn't need it. It's about the heart. These are practices to keep our focus straight. Verse 6 of chapter 9 says this, "But I say, he which soweth sparingly shall also reap sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God love a cheerful giver." So here's the thing that that's telling us here. There's no requirement for the offering, all right? Tithe, yes, speaks of that. Offering, no, that's anything over and above. Anything, any abundant gift that you want to give. But here's the key where he cares about that. Note what he says. So let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. In other words, if you're going through the motions, if we give simply because we feel like, well, this is what's expected, I should, you know, people know I came into some money or what, God doesn't want that. Again, he doesn't care about the money. He wants the cheerful giver. And when it says a cheerful giver, it's talking about someone who has a desire in their heart to give back. Someone who has a desire to bless. That's what he's talking about. All right? That's what it's talking about. The heart of the matter. Not simply because. Give as the heart compels when it comes to offerings. Why is it important that we speak about these things? Why is it important? Well, first of all, the holiday season is upon us, and this is the time that we spend all this money. But the more important matter here is our focus, our faith. What is it in? And do we understand what the Bible says about these things? Do we understand why it's important that we give the tithe, what its purpose is? Do we understand why we give an offering and what the correct way to do that is? Now, I want you to go. I'm going to read it for you. You don't have to hop there if you don't want to. But Luke chapter 6, 38. I'm going to read that for you here real quick. Another verse here just to kind of help clear it up. So, verse 6, 38 says this. "Give, and it shall be given unto you good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, shall men give into your bosom, for with the same measure that ye meet withal, it shall be measured to you again." I kind of like to think of it like this. If we're talking about the ability for us to do these things, the right way in which to manage our finances, we have to not only keep this in mind, the things that we've spoken about here today, but also we need to think of our witness, right? It's not good, in other words, for us, nor for the witness, if we're in deep debt, or if we're not good stewards of the things that we have. So we've got to keep an eye on that. And it's also saying, when it comes to the heart and that focus, think about God's ability to bless, right? Think about that. His ability to take care of us, his ability to do what we need. And tithe and offering and finances with our church aside, think about the family and at home. When there's a struggle, when there's hardship, when something comes up, what do we do? Do we pray? Or do we seek for a loan? Do we go to those credit cards? These kind of things. So I just want to caution everyone to, as we go throughout the holiday season here and in the days ahead, to be careful with our spending and keep ourselves and our witness pure, and not to do anything without really thinking and praying and addressing the Word of God. You know, what we do with our finances says a great deal about our faith. Wherever our treasure is, there our hearts shall be also. I want to say this in closing, though. A little something I wrote here that I think I can say better by reading it than trying to think it off the cuff here. When the concerns of life close in around us, when we have needs that seem too great to be met, those of us that have experienced, as I have, financial hardship or financial struggles, and you're not really sure how to take care of things, all these responsibilities, how do I balance these things? As with all things, go to Christ, because he's able to provide. But you know what the greatest thing that God ever provided is? Salvation, his son. And that's what we celebrate during the Christmas season. Now, it's a cliche saying, but Jesus is the reason for the season. It is his blood by which we're saved. His provision is more than just the temporary things of this world. God's provision is able to, as the cord I kind of showed you earlier with that illustration, it's more than just that little glimpse that we have. It goes on and on and on for eternity. And he's paid for that, as only he could pay. It's important to keep that in mind as we think about the Lord as this holiday season, to be thinking about the provision of God. If you would, please stand and join me as we pray and give the invitation for those that maybe don't know God, don't know his provision. So if you would, please join me, stand, every head bowed, every eye closed. Our faith and our finances. It says a lot about the heart. Wherever our treasure is, there our heart shall be also. A little earlier I asked, and this is something for us to think about, just kind of ask yourself, just as I have to ask myself, do I acknowledge that it is God who's providing for me and my family, that though maybe I'm the provider for my household, I'm only blessed to provide as God has given me, the jobs that we're blessed with, the abilities that we have, they're not our own, it's God. And what's much more, the provision that he's made for forgiveness of sin, that provision. I ask today that if you don't know God, if you don't have that relationship, if you don't know his ability to provide, his ability to save, that he's got you under his hand, that he's watching you, I ask that you'd come forward today while the music is playing. I'll show you from the Word of God how you can get provision for far more than just the things of this world, but for eternity that comes after. Also, maybe you're being pulled. Maybe you feel that tug of God on your heart. Maybe you do have that relationship with God. But maybe you've never made a public confession. Maybe you've never been baptized, which is the first thing that we're supposed to do in obedience to God. I pray also that if you feel that desire of the heart, that you'd come forward and get that taken care of. And know the joys and the riches of heaven. As the Word says, that which does not corrode, that which does not fade away. I'll give you just a few moments to think about that. Let us pray. Father God, we come to you thanking you once again for the ability and the joy that we have to fellowship here, to come together to worship you, Father, for you are worthy. Lord, we ask that the message would be in our hearts, that we would acknowledge, Lord, that you are the provider, that all that we have, that all that is, belongs to you. Father, we ask that you would help us to be good stewards of the things that you've entrusted to our care. Father, we ask that you would bless this church and the people of this church, their families, Lord, that your will would be done through us, that you would be glorified, Lord. Father, that the things of this world would not shake our faith, Lord, that when hard times come, Lord, help us to remember that you have the ability to save us, not only from the things we face here on earth, but from sin, Lord, to save us from that which we so rightly deserve. We thank you for Christ. We thank you for the cross and for all that you've done, Lord. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.